How to publish a student podcast. This is EdTech Source, the pedagogy podcast that focuses on all things EdTech, hosted by me, Alex Nixon. If you're a subscriber of EdTech Source, you might have listened to the previous episode where I discussed the secrets and benefits of creating a student podcast. If you haven't listened to it already, then I urge you to go back and have a listen, even if you're convinced you don't want to try it. I promise the benefits to students of this activity are far greater in number than you would expect. If starting a podcast with your students is something you do want to try, this episode and the next episode will lay out the basics of how to make it work. This week, I'm talking about how to get published, and next week, I'm talking about how to actually create the audio. This might sound a bit back to front, talking about publishing audio before you've actually even recorded it. But I'm doing it this way because I think the idea of publishing the podcast is probably a greater barrier in people's minds than actually recording it. Once you know the basics of how to get published, you'll probably feel a lot more ready and willing to just roll on with getting the recordings done. Before I go any further, I should give a little disclaimer. If you stumbled across this episode because you're searching for advice on how to launch a business or even hobbyist level podcast, then stop. This advice won't get you there. Podcasting for school is different because the requirements are different. If you want to publish a podcast with a growing audience, then there are a lot of behind the scenes details to worry about and quite a lot of creases to iron out. For example, you need to use a reliable host to store your audio files. You need to know how to create a feed. You've got to consider things like search engine optimization. The list goes on. These things cost time and they cost money. For a student podcast that you run in school, it wouldn't be the end of the world if the place that you store your audio files isn't 100% reliable. 98% reliable is good enough for this purpose. Imagine you have subscribed to a professional podcast. The new episode comes out, but for some reason, it doesn't download. Now imagine this happens again a week or so later. After some time, you might give up and unsubscribe. However, if this happened to the students and parents of your podcast every once in a while, it wouldn't be a train smash. It wouldn't lose revenue or decrease your audience because you're not earning money from the student podcast or trying to grow an audience. These are the kinds of small but significant details that matter in a professional podcast, but not so much for a school podcast. These are also the reasons why it costs money to launch a podcast and why teachers can get away with doing it for nothing. So, how do you launch a podcast? Well, first off, get an MP3 with your episode. Like I've said, next week I'll be describing how to record interviews or narrations and put them together in a reasonably good quality MP3 format for publishing. Second, once you've got your MP3, upload it somewhere online, and you can do that for free. Third, create artwork or have a student create the artwork for your show. Fourth, you need a blog to put the MP3 file on and the show notes. Now, there are more steps, but you can stop at that point if you want. At this stage, technically, you have a podcast. Whenever you publish a new blog post with a new audio file attached, this is your new episode for listeners to download. If you want to keep it really simple, then you can just do it like that. All done nice and easy. It will be accessible to anyone around the world that has an internet connection and knows the address of your blog. Of course, it doesn't really fulfill the expectations of modern-day podcasting. It won't be convenient to subscribe via any smartphone podcast apps, and it definitely won't appear on iTunes. If you want to go ahead with a few extra steps, and I strongly recommend that you do that to give it that sort of student buy-in wow factor thing that I discussed in the previous episode, then the next step, step 5, is to create a feed. A feed is the string of information attached to each episode that lets apps find it. It lists episodes and sends new ones to people's smartphone as soon as that new episode is available. Fortunately, despite this involving some very complex code, you can create one without ever having to look at any coding. The sixth step and the final step is getting your feed out there. The feed address is the thing that you have to give to iTunes to get them to list your podcast. You shouldn't limit it only to iTunes. You can also share it with Android services as well as major apps like Stitcher and Overcast and all of those kinds of things. But if it's on iTunes, it will often automatically share to other platforms as well. So don't worry too much about these unless you've got a bit of time to play with. So step one is record your MP3 file. As I said, I'll be focusing on that next time. So let's skip to step two. I'm assuming at this point that you've got the audio file. So step two, publish your file online. Blueberry and Libsyn are the two big brands in podcast hosting. You can imagine podcast hosting or web hosting, any kind of web hosting, to be a little bit like having an external hard drive that's permanently connected to the internet, so anyone can download stuff from it at any time from anywhere in the world. Only it's a ginormous hard drive, the size of a warehouse, possibly on the other side of the world, with ultra-high-tech security and all that kind of thing. Blueberry and Libsyn have a great reputation and are obvious choices for professionals because of reliability and the additional services they offer. However, you've got to pay for them. So what's the free alternative? Well, there are actually two obvious ones that stand out. The first one is self-hosting. If your school has its own website, they can possibly host the file for you. Talk to the tech department, explain that you want to host an MP3 file on the system that would probably have 100 downloads per month or less, though obviously that number would vary hugely depending on your school size, and see what they've got to say. Tell them you're going to put a new MP3 file out there every week, every 2 weeks, every month, every term, however often you're planning to do this. You can give them the MP3 on a flash drive, they'll do the rest, they'll give you the link to the file when they're done, and you then use that link to go on and do the next steps. There are some technicalities for why this might be either impossible for them or impractical. So if they say no, it's probably for a good reason. But it's a very convenient option if they're happy to go ahead with it. The next option is SoundCloud.com. SoundCloud is a place to share music and other audio files so people can access them easily. You've probably stumbled across it at some point, even if you're not a loyal user. If you do a quick Google search on how to create or host a podcast, you will find a lot of comments relating to SoundCloud, with many people giving strongly worded arguments about not using it. I won't dispute what they say. I've never used SoundCloud for podcasting, so I can't comment either way. But what I can say is that most of the criticisms don't apply to you launching a student podcast. Long story short, you can upload your podcast MP3 file on there and anyone in the world can access it. It's that simple. Yes, they may be less reliable. Again, I can't comment on that from first-hand experience. And there are limitations like not being able to get detailed web stats from them on how many downloads you've had and where in the world those downloads are coming from. But I don't think that stuff's that important here. SoundCloud is a great free choice for a podcast. Step three, create artwork. You need a square image for your podcast. When you browse through the podcast on any app, you'll see they all have artwork with them. A square image with the little title of the show on and maybe some sort of image, something like that. You really can't skip this step. At least not if you want to publish on major platforms like iTunes. You need a square image that is at least 1400 by 1400 pixels. My best recommendation is to give this to a student as a project. Give them the name of your show and tell them you need a perfectly square piece of artwork. When they're done, you can scan this and crop it into shape easily. Or if they're quite proficient with Photoshop or something like that, then maybe they can actually design it on computer and then they just send you the image file. If you're proficient with Photoshop yourself or other graphics software, then of course you could just do it yourself. But otherwise, it could make a really interesting art project for a student. Step four, publishing on a blog. A blog is a great way to organize your podcast episode. Basically, each episode or blog post will have a block of text, as much or as little as you want, and a link to the MP3 file in it. The MP3 file link, your podcast episode, is the thing that your podcast app will download and play, while the block of text will be the description or show notes that you read in the podcast app. The MP3 link you need is a direct link to the file that is stored on SoundCloud or wherever it's hosted. Creating a blog is unbelievably easy, even if you've never looked at doing anything like that before. If you've never started a blog, try WordPress.com or Weebly.com. And there are lots of others as well. Sign up for free and follow the instructions to set up the blog. It really is very easy with any of the major names out there. One thing to note is that when you create a blog with, for example, WordPress, your blog address, the domain name, will be my blog name, whatever that is, myblogname.wordpress.com. If you want myblogname.com, i.e. without the WordPress in it, you have to pay for it. It's pretty cheap. I think I pay something like £10 or £10 or $10. I actually don't remember exactly, but it's about, you know, something like $10 per year for my domain name, for sciencesourceonline.com. But it's not important if you want to keep it for free. If you want to keep podcasting for free, then you can just have myblogname.wordpress.com. It really doesn't matter that much. Step five is to create a feed. Now, when I publish this podcast, I host my files on Blueberry and I use a plugin on my website called PowerPress that deals with all the technical details of creating a feed. One of the advantages of paying a little bit for hosting is that the technical details are simplified. If you want to do this for free, there are a few options that stand out. It's slightly less convenient, but it is possible. One is to write your own feed using web coding. I don't recommend that because they're incredibly complicated and it's absolutely not necessary. The other option, which I do recommend, is Feedburner, and that's a free service provided by Google. The professionals will scream at me for giving that advice. There are many reasons not to use Feedburner for podcasting, and they don't apply to a teacher trying to get something launched with a class. Basically, to use Feedburner, you copy the web address of the blog post that you created, then go to feedburner.com and enter it there. You might need to log in with your Google account or create one, but obviously all of that's free and easy. And if you, most people have got a Gmail account these days, but if you don't, you can go ahead and get one without any problems. So you copy the web address and then you go to feedburner.com and enter it there. Follow the instructions and they'll generate a feed for you and spit out something that looks like a complex web address at the end. This complex looking web address thingy that they give you is your feed address, and you need this to get your podcast listed on major platforms. Before you can make this step work, you need to have the blog and podcast episode already published. What some people do to get the ball rolling is to make an episode zero, which is just a brief recording introducing your show, giving a brief outline of what it's all about. You could even just make an audio recording of yourself saying, "Hello, thanks for downloading my podcast." It really can be anything, as long as there is something for Feedburner and iTunes in the next step to work with. You will probably delete this episode anyway as soon as you launch your first real episode, episode one, so it really doesn't matter what it actually says or what's on it. It just has to be a piece of audio that you publish. Step six, put the thing on iTunes. Now, here's a good time to clear up a misconception. There is no such thing as publishing your podcast on iTunes. You can't give them your podcast episode to share with other Apple users. All you do is give them the podcast, or you tell them that the podcast exists, and iTunes will list it for you. It's basically a directory. You tell them it exists by giving them your podcast feed. You first need to go to podcastconnect.apple.com. Sign in with your Apple ID, or create one if you don't have one, and submit the podcast feed address. Note there that I said feed address, not your blog address. They're very different things. You need to submit the feed address that you created via Feedburner. There are specific requirements to meet, and you may get rejected if you don't meet them. I was rejected a couple of times with my first podcast because of various details that were missing. Usually it's something that you left blank when creating your Feedburner feed, and the rejection notice from Apple will give you some indication of what you missed. It's not a problem. Just go back, add in the details, and then resubmit. I should mention that waiting for approval takes sort of 24 to 48 hours. So it might take a week or so to get listed if you have to keep going backwards and forwards making updates. I guess step 7 that I didn't mention above is to promote it. Tell all of your students to subscribe, write an article for it in your school newsletter or on the social media pages if your school has those, and get people downloading it. It might all seem quite long-winded, but really you can get most of this up and running in a few hours, not including the time waiting for Apple to accept or reject your show, of course. And once all of the technical stuff is done for episode 1, it's significantly quicker to get the next episodes on there. All you have to do is record your show, upload the file, and update your blog. Your feed will automatically do the rest, so there's no more technical details to do with the following episodes. If you're still on board, make sure you listen to the next episode on how to record and edit audio for free or very cheap for your student podcast. EdTech Source is the pedagogy podcast that focuses on all things EdTech, hosted by me, Alex Nixon. You can reach out to me on Twitter using @science_source, and you can find subscribe links, show notes, and all of that sort of jazz at scienceSourceOnline.com/EdTech Source. Remember, all of those sources are spelled like ketchup. Have a great week, everyone.